Good morning and welcome to the WESCO third quarter fiscal year 2017 earnings call. My name is Ellen and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Tom Minichiello, WESCO's Chief Financial Officer. Tom, you may begin.
Thank you, Ellen. Good morning and welcome to our conference call to discuss the fiscal year 2017 third quarter results for WESCO Technologies. The news release we issued last night is posted on our website, WESCO.com. On this call, Kirk Branek, WESCO's Chief Executive Officer, will begin with the discussion of our business and strategy. I will then update you on our financial results for the quarter and we'll conclude by taking questions. Before we begin, please note that our presentation and discussion contain forward-looking statements about future results, performance, or achievements, financial and otherwise. Words such as should, believe, expect, trend, and similar expressions are intended to identify such forward-looking statements. These statements reflect management's current expectations, estimates, and assumptions. These forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that may cause WESCO's actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially from those discussed. A description of the factors that may affect our future results is provided in the company's SEC filings, including Form 10-K for the fiscal year ended March 31, 2016, under the section Risk Factors. The forward-looking statements made in this presentation are being made as of the date and time of this conference call. WESCO disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements based on new information, future events, or other factors. Please also note that we present non-GAAP financial information in our news releases because we believe that non-GAAP measures provide meaningful supplemental information to both management and investors. The non-GAAP information reflects the company's core ongoing operating performance and facilitates comparisons across reporting periods. Our discussion of results today will include non-GAAP financial measures. We've provided reconciliations to the most comparable GAAP measures in our news release. With that, I will now turn the call over to Kirk.
Thank you, Tom, and good morning, everyone. As I mentioned during our last earnings call, our first goal was to get operating expenses down to a level where we can sustain profitability at current business volumes. At that time, WESCO had already been taking important steps to return to profitability. I'm proud to report that the WESCO team made tremendous progress this quarter. Let me highlight those accomplishments. Let's talk about operating expenses. Our goal was to bring quarterly non-GAAP OPEX down to a range between $7 million to $6.5 million. We substantially exceeded this goal by driving down non-GAAP OPEX to $5.9 million. Gross margin. Our target has always been 40% or greater, which we achieved in the third quarter by generating a consolidated gross margin of 40.4%. Profitability. By surpassing our OPEX goal and gross margin target, our non-GAAP operating profit was positive for the first time in 3 years. Cash flow. We indicated that we should see a flat or slight increase in the third quarter with the goal of maintaining cash at or above $20 million. With the $2.9 million of positive cash flow generated this quarter, our cash grew 14% to $23.8 million. So we have $23.8 million of cash and no debt. Let me say that again. Our cash balance is currently $23.8 million, and we ended the quarter with no debt. These results wouldn't have been possible without the contributions across the entire WESCO team and represent a positive change as we move forward. We're pleased with the progress, but at the same time, there's more to do and feel we can continue to drive further efficiency in the business and shareholder value. For example, we reported last quarter that we expected to complete the consolidation of our in-building wireless final assembly and test operations with Spinnaker, a contract manufacturer in New Hampshire, with whom we've been doing business with since 2000. This process was successfully completed on schedule, and we saw the first benefits in this quarter as the gross margin for our in-building wireless business improved to 40.3%. We expect the ongoing benefits of this arrangement to reflect positively in future results, including the costs associated with some space we vacated in January in our Manchester, New Hampshire facility as a result of the consolidation at Spinnaker. I don't believe Guy Nickerson is on the call today with us, but I wanted to thank Guy, who is the owner of Spinnaker, for his great partnership. We're continuously working on additional profit improvement initiatives across all three business segments. We're looking at product costs, labor efficiencies, product pricing strategies, sales force alignment, and even a new lease for our Aurora headquarters location. Moving to the revenue side, as indicated on our last call, the December quarter is historically a relatively strong one for our Intelligent Site Management and Services segment, while a seasonally low period for our CNS business. True to these historical patterns, the ISMS business grew sequentially and, in fact, had its highest revenue quarter since the same period a year ago, while CNS was down sequentially. We have more work to do growing our top line. Our in-building wireless business was strong again this quarter, led by increased demand of our universal DAS interface tray. We also continue to be encouraged by the positive order momentum we have for our half-watt public safety repeater, and in late November, we announced we would be launching this quarter our new 2-watt public safety repeater, the latest addition of our IBW portfolio. Both products meet the necessary regulatory requirements, including those of the First Responder Network Authority, FirstNet, the first planned nationwide mobile broadband communication network for public safety. Today, we are already seeing more and more municipalities define their in-building wireless public safety requirements. Excluding the future effect of FirstNet, we estimate, using nationwide building data and other industry analysis, that the North American market for in-building wireless public safety to be approximately $277 million in 2017 and growing roughly to $487 million by 2021. Our intention is to provide a full portfolio of products and solutions that addresses this growing market. Let me just take a minute to talk about another important item to Westel, and that's customer diversification. Westel's business has traditionally relied on two large North American service providers. In recent years, the company has made efforts to expand its North American customer base, and we are beginning to see some success. We now sell our in-building wireless products to all four major wireless service providers, along with several large neutral host operators and a growing number of integrators across the U.S. and internationally within Mexico. We've made some significant progress resetting our expense structure for sustainable profitability, and we're encouraged by the traction we're gaining in the exciting in-building wireless public safety market, and we're stepping up our focus to focus on top-line growth. But there's much more to do to drive shareholder value, and I believe our team is up to the task. With that, I'll now turn it back over to Tom.
Thank you, Kirk. Let me begin by providing some additional color on our revenue and gross margin performance for the quarter. Westel's fiscal 2017 third quarter consolidated revenue was $15 million compared to $17.8 million in the prior quarter. The $2.8 million lower sequential quarter revenue was attributable to our CNS segment, which consists primarily of outdoor products, when business in the October to December quarters is historically low due to the approaching winter months. Our ISMS business segment revenue grew 8% sequentially to $5.5 million, driven primarily by an increase in sales of software licenses for our Optima management system and by higher deployment services revenue. It's worth noting that ISMS bookings in the third quarter was significantly in excess of revenue as we received large orders for Optima software licenses and related support, for which the revenue is recognized ratably over the support period, in this case, 1 year. Our IBW segment revenue was $6.2 million compared to $6.6 million last quarter. While we filled fewer orders for commercial repeaters this quarter due to product updates requiring recertification, our IBW business remained strong. For the second consecutive quarter, unit sales grew sequentially, achieving the second highest ever quarterly revenue level. For the third straight quarter, we continue to gain traction with integrators and channel partners for our half-watt public safety repeater. On a year-to-date basis, IBW now represents 40% of total Westel revenue. Third quarter consolidated gross margin was 40.4%, up from 35.8% last quarter. The sequential increase was driven primarily by a more favorable mix and lower costs, including, as Kirk noted, the consolidation of our IBW final assembly and test operation with Spinnaker. Turning now to operating expenses, consolidated non-GAAP OPEX was $5.9 million, 24% better than the $7.8 million last quarter, and substantially exceeding the goal we communicated on our last call. To provide some perspective here, note that a year ago, when we reported $11.2 million in the fiscal 2016 third quarter, our non-GAAP operating expenses stood at an annualized run rate of approximately $45 million. Compare that to the approximately $24 million annualized run rate on the just reported $5.9 million. That's a $21 million or 47% reduction. Turning to the fiscal 2017 third quarter earnings, on a sequential GAAP basis, we improved the bottom line by $4 million or 6 cents per share. On a non-GAAP basis, net income was $200,000 or 0 cents per share, compared with a net loss of $1.1 million or 2 cents per share in the prior quarter. In addition to non-GAAP net income, our non-GAAP operating profit of $200,000 and adjusted EBITDA of $500,000 were both positive in 3Q17 for the first time in 3 years. Moving to our balance sheet, we grew cash by $2.9 million or 14% in the third quarter, bringing our cash total to $23.8 million at December 31st, 2016, and zero debt. Generating $2.9 million of cash in the quarter was a result of our $500,000 positive adjusted EBITDA and working capital management. Speaking of cash, you heard Kirk make reference to a new lease for our Aurora headquarters location. Our current lease expires on September 30th of this year, and we are currently in negotiations for space more suitable to our current operation. Beginning on October 1st of this year, we expect a significant reduction in our annual cash outlays in the range of $1.5 to $2 million. We plan to make an announcement once we finalize a new lease. Before we move to your questions, let me summarize. First, the expense structure reset we began earlier this fiscal year and accelerated in the third fiscal quarter has restored non-GAAP profitability to the business and helped to our financial position. Second, we are expanding our customer base in existing and new markets with service providers, neutral host operators, integrators, OEMs, distribution channel partners, and in select international markets. And third, we are excited about and investing in the growing in-building wireless public safety market and further analyzing industry trends and our product portfolio to determine additional areas in or adjacent to our core competencies where we believe Westel has the highest opportunities for success. Now we'd like to open up the call for your questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Our first question is from Mike Lattimore with Northland Capital Markets.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Great quarter there, guys. So just on your last comment there, Tom, you said as of October, you think your annual lease cost will drop by $1.5 to $2 million. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's correct, Mike, and good morning. We have a lease that was 20 years running. It ends on September 30th of this year. We will have a new lease on October 1st, starting on October 1st. As I think you're aware, the building here is bigger than the needs of the current business. It's been a sort of a noose around the company here financially in recent years. We are finally at the end of that lease, and we're looking forward to a lease that will be more suitable to the current business and will definitely be saving a lot of cash on a go-forward basis once we're in that new lease. Again, 1.5 to 2 million is the range. We'll be somewhere in that range.
Okay. And then on the ISM business, I think you said bookings were greater than revenue, and just a couple things there. I guess it sounded like a lot of the bookings were software and support as opposed to hardware. I guess just wanted to clarify that. And also, what are the applications sort of envisioned in the bookings here? Is this kind of cell site management, or are you getting outside of the wireless industry here?
Mike, this was for Optima software licenses with an existing customer internationally, and it involved upwards of about $1 million order with potentially more to come in the next quarter or two because the number of sites that the customer needs to cover is greater. But the point that I was making in the prepared statements is that we got the booking for that amount, but the accounting rules require us to ratably recognize that revenue over a 12-month period, which is the period of the post-contract support, as it's called, or PCS. So we got some of that revenue in the third quarter. We'll continue to recognize that revenue over the next three quarters.
Got it. And then on the public safety repeater business, can you talk a little bit there about what are the more successful channels to date? Who do you see, as your main competitor in some of these first night deals?
Mike, this is Kirk Brannick. I'll take that question. If you look at what we've rolled out the half-watt public safety repeater. And as I mentioned earlier, we announced in last quarter that we'd be rolling out the 2-watt public safety repeater. When you look at the channel, the important channel for us is going to be the integrators. These are the folks that work with the end user to basically develop in-building wireless designs. What we've seen is, from the integrator perspective, is schools, along with municipalities, in some cases, are requiring building owners to have better in-building wireless coverage. So we view the integrators as key to our success. I mean, they're the folks that are interfacing with the end users, and that's where we're seeing our traction. Your second part of your question was competition. Right now, the competition that we're seeing comes from only a few people. ADRF is one. They have a product out there. It is more expensive than our product. We're trying to find the sweet spot related to our pricing. We do foresee other competitors trying to get in this space, but we are trying to stay ahead of the game and making sure that we're really locked in well with the integrators.
Sure. And just last one on the CNS gross margin. Where do you see that trending over the longer term?
Mike, that result is largely attributable to the lower revenue in that segment this quarter. The gross margin typically runs around 30, low 30% when the revenue is higher than that. We see the business as a 30%+ gross margin business. There are many products in that segment that have various margins, cabinets, power, TMAs. And so it's always going to depend a little bit on the mix within.
Yep.
But if you look back, you'll see that the trend line is around 30 to 32%.
Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe to add to that too, Mike, one of the things we're doing for each product line is we're looking at the gross margin in great detail. And in that segment in particular, there was some opportunity as far as raising prices for certain products. So we're really looking at every product, again, trying to figure out where the sweet spot is for pricing. Sometimes some of the larger customers have a tendency to push us pretty hard. And at times we need to make sure we're doing the right thing for the business and the shareholders when it comes to our pricing activities.
All right. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Todd Brady with Oppenheimer.
Good morning. Were there any 10% customers in the quarter? And secondly, can you expand a little bit more on, you're now working with the top four wireless carriers. Tell us more about the developing relationship with these customers. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I got the first one here, Todd. So as far as 10% customers are concerned, we had three that were greater than 10%. And I would add to that that we had another three that were high single digits and close to 10%. So we had nice customer diversification in the quarter.
And maybe to add to that, regarding the top four customers, some of our wireless carriers were not as aggressive in their builds. And what we're seeing, and I'll mention one, T-Mobile, for example, we are seeing a lot more activity from T-Mobile in our in-building wireless space, which is very positive. AT&T and Verizon clearly were our largest customers, but we are seeing opportunities with the other wireless carriers, which is positive.
Thank you.
The next question is from Greg Mesniaeff from Drexel Hamilton.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick question. You know, as you guys refocus some of your product areas, could you give us some color as to what you're doing on your sales strategies in terms of, you know, your sales force versus distribution? Thanks.
That's a great question, Greg. This is Kirk again. From a sales strategy perspective, we have a new sales lead. That's J.J. Swartwood. J.J. took over in September. And I will tell you, since I came in, one of the items that I saw affecting our ability to really get after top line was the fact when we looked at our sales organization, we've had technically a revolving door when it came to sales heads. We've had five sales heads in the last 3.5 years. And so we've got JJ in there, and I believe what he is doing makes a whole lot of sense. And what he is doing is he is aligning his sales force to the market, to our large customers, but also on a geographic basis. We're looking at how that sales force sells product. There's always a debate. Do you have a universal salesperson that sells all of our products across the board? Or do you have salespeople focused on their niche markets and where they're best? And so we're looking at strategies in that area. Another thing that we're looking at is we have sales engineers. We have to make sure sales engineers are just not engineers, that they understand the word sales in their job function. And so we've got a lot of activity going around with JJ's team. They happen to be right next door today in a sales meeting to discuss, you know, where we're going, trying to penetrate the markets. You mentioned another really important thing, Greg, and that is our channels. We really need to strengthen our relationships and how well our distributors do. That means having report cards on our distributors so we know which distributors are really, you know, doing well moving our products. And then obviously, the new channel with our integrators will have to be doing the same thing.
Thank you.
I would like to, Greg, just one more thing, and I think it's worth sharing here is, it can get a little lost, is that in addition to the changes we've had at the top of the sales organization, we've also had some churn in my time here, 3+ years, in the sales team itself. And I think it's worth sharing because it gets a little lost, and it's an important factor when we're talking about our revenue. We have had the turnover to the extent where at one point in time, maybe middle of last year, you know, last calendar year, sort of third quarter of last calendar year, where we've had a lot of new people in our sales organization. And it takes time for folks to join a company, get established, you know, get the relationships going. We're now at a point where we have a team that has been in place here for a good stretch, a longer stretch than any other time in my three-plus years here with Westel. So that's an important factor as we turn our attention to top-line growth. We've got a sales team that's now in a position where it hasn't been in a while.
Great. Thank you for the call.
The next question is from Marty Elbaum with Horizon Network.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Congratulations. It seems like you've really turned the company around, and the future looks very promising. The big thing that could be very exciting for the company, and it could put us in a different league, is that FirstNet. Do you have any idea when that could get released?
Sure. Hey, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Marty.
What we know about it is we think it's April where the award would be granted. There was a deadline of November of last year where the award was going to be granted. That did not happen, and so now it looks like April. But that's a very significant thing. The FirstNet is the first, as the name implies, ever nationwide standardized broadband spectrum specifically dedicated to public safety. So I don't know if there's more you'd like to know about it, but we think April is when the award happens.
That's great. That's great.
Go ahead.
Okay. How many shares? Now, just what do we have per cash per share, you know, based on number of shares?
Okay, we can do that.
Well, yeah, we can. It's at this point the 40 cents per share.
We have 40 cents per share, no debt. That's unbelievable. It's crazy with the stock trading.
I just did 39 to be exact, but yeah, 40 cents per share.
With no debt, right?
With no debt, correct. Yes.
This is exciting. This is very exciting. We're looking forward to the future. It sounds very good.
Thanks. Thank you, Martin.
All right.
The next question is from Mark Silk with Silk Investment Advisors.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question here. So on the public safety, I like the strategy with the integrators, so there's not a huge cost outlay. But unfortunately, you know, terrorism is not just a U.S.-centric issue. So once you kind of fine-tune the strategy, are there options basically internationally? Because obviously that could be, you know, a humongous growth driver. That's basically it.
Mark, that's a great question. We have made inroads with our products, and we've seen growth in Latin America. We have one individual along with an assistant that is really focused on Latin America. I do believe that there are opportunities. We have not really ever, Tom, and you can correct me here, if it really penetrated Europe, where, you know, as you mentioned earlier, there's just as much activity there. But, no, I don't see any reason if we can get these products to market and get them in the right spot from a pricing perspective that we can't see these products grow elsewhere.
And my last question is more of a comment. So, you know, I'm sure you figured after this quarter and your progression, the stock might get over a dollar. I would still not do anything about a reverse stock split. You know, if you're going to turn this company around, you've shown you have. I just let the markets take care of itself, and that's just my opinion.
We appreciate that.
And good luck going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Todd Brady with Oppenheimer.
Can you guys just give us an update? You guys have made some changes with the board, and as you are reestablishing credibility in the investment world, tell us a quick update on the board and what are some goals the new board has placed as top priorities. Thank you.
Sure. I will tell you, I am pleased with the changes we've seen within the board. We currently have six members on the board. And just brought on an individual by the name of Mark Zorko. Mark Zorko is local. He has some very good financial background. He's the head of our audit chair. He replaced an individual that had previously been on the board a couple of years, Fareed Abid, and I think he's going to be a very good addition. He is all about driving shareholder value. He is engaged, and I would tell you the board is continuously looking at making changes when it's necessary, and have no prediction of the future, but you may see more changes in the future to ensure we have the strongest board that is aimed at driving shareholder value. I'm really pleased about having Mark join the board.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Mike Lattimore with Northland Capital Markets.
Great, thanks. I know you're not giving sort of granular guidance at this point, but you did mention you're maybe increasingly focused on growth. I mean, do you think you'll return to kind of growth in fiscal 18?
I think, Mike, that starts with, we talked a lot about public safety, which we're encouraged with our progress there, and that's going to be a good future for us. I think really it starts with, in the more near term, with the CNS business. And again, with CNS, you've got three major product lines. You've got integrated cabinets, you have tower-mounted amplifiers, and we have hardened power distribution fuse panels and circuit breaker panels. The power distribution line is relatively steady business. The other two can be lumpy depending on the time of year and depending on carrier funding, depending on some CAF money, Connect America Fund grants from the government, and the projects itself tend to be lumpy. And the TMAs, I should also mention, we are in a little bit of a transition with that product line. We are now moving towards a dual-band power-mounted amplifier where the customer will be able to use one TMA to enhance and optimize the signal from the cell towers across two frequency bands. It's actually approved. Now it's going out and getting the business. So that's where it starts. And so it was very low this quarter. I mean, it's typically low in the December quarter. This one was probably lower than normal. But there's those dynamics going on. As far as cabinets is concerned, we actually received a PO earlier this quarter, for a new project. Again, when we deliver that project, it's going to be a timing thing, but we expect it to be delivered sometime in the spring. Whether it will be the fourth quarter or the first quarter, at this point, hard to tell. But that business is coming. And then we've got another opportunity for a fairly large deployment of integrated cabinets that's in the early stages.
Okay. I got it. And then just curious, your ISM business, is there any synergy between ISM and, say, public safety repeaters? Can you kind of create some integrations there over time, or is that distinct business?
Yeah, I would say, Mike, right now we haven't seen a whole lot of synergies between public safety and ISM. We have seen some synergies between our traditional UDIT business. And as customers purchase DAS, we have ISM monitoring those DAS systems. So if you look at ISM today, you really have cell towers that are being monitored. You have network equipment in the case of the sale that Tom mentioned earlier, where Optima is speaking really to network equipment actually in Australia. And then the third piece is we are using our ISM equipment to talk to distributed antenna systems to basically monitor that. But so far, we have not seen any applications in the in-building wireless, although there will be remote capabilities to configure in-building wireless public safety. But it's an area that we probably need to look at. But right now, I would say I don't see any overlap. Tom, would you?
I would say right now that's true. We are looking at some opportunities in the network densification or centralized radio access networks. And so we're pretty excited about that because we see an opportunity there for example, for our cabinets with our power panels and remote monitoring, you know, all together. So while today there isn't much crossover, where the carriers are going, where the network is going, we see opportunity across really all three businesses, but ISM and CNS in particular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what Tom is speaking to, Mike, is the C-RAN build. If you look at the wireless carriers, it's really hard to put up a new tower. Every municipality doesn't want a new tower. And so what they're doing is they are moving from the tower out into the field, basically on a distributed architecture, and those locations will require monitoring. So we see that. Now, that's not public safety, but it's kind of an expansion of the wireless expansion, and it's basically in the C-RAN space. And when you listen to the carriers are saying a lot of their spend is going to be in this area.
All right, right. Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Brent Morrison with Zuma Capital Management.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on the cost cutting. Let me get you guys to elaborate on the kind of the bringing the two, the a couple segments together. Can you elaborate on public safety and the enclosure business? A lot of the standardizations of public safety require the equipment to be enclosed with certain specifications. Can you talk about how you could bring those segments together or how you guys have thought about it?
Yeah, I can answer that, Brett. First of all, in fact, I'm looking at our half-watt public safety repeater, which is in our demo room here, and clearly, as we look at our public safety product, you know, the product requires hardening. We're designing it to meet all of the standards that are required under FirstNet. And the device is not very large. However, we have mentioned that one of the items that we're looking at, along with public safety, is, and there should hopefully be an announcement out shortly, is with public safety, with the public safety repeater, there's going to be a requirement for battery backup. And in the battery backup arena, it requires a cabinet to actually house the batteries. So we see synergies between our CNS organization and public safety by having a bolt-on product called battery backup. And so that, that in itself has us excited, because we think that that could be a bolt-on, over on top of the actual repeater itself. So that's where we're seeing the synergies now with CNS, along with public safety.
Great. Thank you.
It's interesting you bring that up, Brent. I would just add one thing. I mean, that's a good point because enclosures, as you know, because you know us pretty well, are something that we've been in the business doing for years, especially the outdoor hardened ones in the outdoor network. So to bring that capability over into the public safety where you got similar requirements, more stringent, but same, you know, similar, it plays to a strength of the company, which is one of the things we, among others, that we like about the public safety market.
Sure, sure. Also, there's been talks that, you know, you guys said the carriers were sort of weak in the previous quarter, but there's been signs that they're starting to spend again. Can you comment on, I know you commented on the cabinet order, but can you comment on any other talks, or maybe they're not POs yet, but planning that you're seeing from the large carriers?
Yeah, we really like this C-RAN expansion.
because I think Mike mentioned it earlier. We think there's opportunities in the C-RAN space. There could be cabinet opportunities. There also could be intelligent site monitoring capabilities, because as you scatter and distribute your architecture, you don't want technicians and trucks having to drive, and this will give them some site monitoring that they'll badly need. And so that's where I think we're going to see the growth with the larger carriers is as they expand and distribute their network out further. That's where I see the growth so far.
Sure. And then lastly, on R&D spending, it seems like it's coming much more in line with the top line. Can you talk about, Tom, maybe where R&D spending will be in a couple quarters?
Yeah, I think you're seeing it now, right? We've got roughly 2.5 million quarterly run rate on R&D expense, and you can see in the press release how it's distributed, heavily weighted into the IBW sector, with much lower amounts in the CNS, which are products that don't require as much dollar spending on R&D for those products. So I think you're seeing where we're probably going to be for a while. Remember, we are investing for the future. We're developing offerings in the public safety market. We're refreshing our commercial repeaters, you know, and we're supporting products across the rest of the business.
Okay, and then lastly, what's the headcount, total headcount now?
It ended the quarter at 130, so we made some nice progress. Actually, I'm sorry, 125.
Okay. Well, thank you. Look forward to the next couple quarters.
Thank you, Brent.
The next question is from Eugene Robin with Cove Street.
Morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Eugene.
So a question on management, and I'm curious, you're still interim CEO, so are you the person to lead Westell forward, or is the board still contemplating that question?
As I said before, great question, Eugene, and I appreciate it. I am still the CEO and running the company as if I'm going to be here the next 10 years, but I will tell you that I am involved with the board to actively seek an individual to replace me. We are doing that on an internal basis, and what I mean by that, rather than hiring a search firm, we have a handful of candidates we're vetting. I am very involved with all the work we've been doing here. I'm going to be very involved with not only the decision, but also the transformation. And we'll continue to be actively involved at the point in time that that decision is made. But right now, there's nobody in the short term that I'm aware of that's going to be stepping in here. But the board is, you know, aware of the understanding we had when I joined, and I think we're moving it at the right pace.
And, I mean, are you capable or willing to give a longer-term assessment of what, you know, the financial model at Westell should look like in terms of just, you know, looking out 3 to 5 years, top line, and the actual average or normal profitability here?
Yeah, our next board meeting is coming up in March, and we will be going over our three-year plan, and the board is open to listening to every opportunity that is out there to drive shareholder value. You know, I feel good about this quarter, but we do need to grow our top line, and we've got some plans on doing that. But absolutely, we are not looking at this as a quarter-by-quarter company. We are looking at this, where do we want to be long-term, and making sure we have not only the right skill sets within the management team, but the right product plans, And so no, we are looking at this as a long-term proposition, Gene.
And I mean, the long-term assessment, would that be something better left to a permanent CEO, or I'm just kind of curious.
Absolutely. I don't believe the board wants, and I keep telling people, I'm not operating like I'm interim, but certainly, there'll be a lot of discussion in the next board meeting, regarding, you know, where we're going, but certainly, the board wants to have a permanent CEO, and I know the attributes that we're looking for. The board knows the attributes we're looking for, and when that decision is made, I would hope the shareholders would applaud that, and I think they will if we do the right job and we create the right transformation plan.
I mean, again, I would hope that in the board discussion, the question of how, what set of events would cause the future of this company to be any different than the past would be an important one to kind of mull over and to answer. Just generally speaking, though, are you capable of saying whether or not you're just a caretaker of sorts and preparing the company for some sort of an alternative path?
What I would say, the board, I don't like the word caretaker because that's not the way I operate. But what I would tell you is the board is open to listening to any opportunity that drives shareholder value. And that's the best thing I can say toward that. And whether that's trying to grow big time, you know, in the public safety sector, whether that is open to opportunities of a merger, that means going public, they are open to everything to drive shareholder value. And with Mark Zorko coming on, as I mentioned earlier, I think that's a positive, and I think that's the way the board needs to operate, and I'm pleased to say I think that's the way we'll continue to operate.
Great. All right. Thank you, Kirk.
Thanks, Gene.
And once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. We'll stand by for any further questions. And our next question is from Barry Bergman with Barry Bergman Management.
I want to congratulate you guys on turning this thing around. We're definitely going in the right direction. I was just wondering, as we go forward here, what is the intention or the plan with investor relations?
That's a great question. Barry, we've been told by shareholders that sometimes we don't do the best job of getting our messaging out, and we obviously want it to be factual. We want it to tell what we're doing internally, and so we are looking at various alternatives to investor relations. Tom Minichiello is really the key who has led our investor relations and will continue to do that. But we have talked to a number of investor relations firms to look at how we do investor relations and how we might be able to do it better. And we are open in the future, and the board is open in the future, to make sure that we do it the best we can. So fair question, and believe me, it's on our radar screen.
Thank you.
We have no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back to Kirk Branick for closing remarks.
Great. Thank you. I want to thank everyone for joining us today and your confidence in Westell. We're pleased with the progress, but we're far from done.
We're stepping up our focus to grow our top line and executing on our public safety initiatives. This is an exciting new market, and we like its future. And I look forward to speaking to all of you again. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect.